Hello, welcome back to episode 40 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. My name is Scott. Joined with me, as always, is James. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, mate. Finally made it to 40.
We did. I know. How many years?
Is it 5, 6, maybe? Yeah, 7? I don't know.
Yeah, well, 2016 we started, and here we are.
If the math is correct.
40 episodes. I know last year we spoke about, or maybe it was the year before, we spoke about doing 40 by Christmas, and we didn't really make it. I think we're about 2 shy, so we've managed to do 2 in a row, so that's pretty impressive.
It's something, and let's keep the momentum going from there.
Yes, well, here we are again. It's another week. Obviously, we're going to get stuck into it and have a very interesting topic to discuss today, one of which we may have brushed on earlier.
I think we have in the past.
So it might be an updated version of that episode.
Hopefully, because like my discussion point of the topic is not the best. I know yours is had more experience than I did, but had more experience since we last chatted about it. So hopefully it's better talk.
Well, let's recap the week anyway in gaming. In personal gaming, what have you been up to this week?
So I think I was last talking about Sea of Stars.
Yep.
Now I thought I was getting real close to beating it, then the game took like a whole nother twist, and like I did manage to play like a couple of hours each night, which was nice. But I've actually gotten up to, this is the point where you can pretty much do what you need to do before the big fight, so I know I'm at the end now. So it's all about doing the minor tasks that I need to do to level up, and then we'll go and beat the game.
Oh, good. So it's sort of, is this a Japanese game?
I'm not sure who, like, it's inspired by like Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a turn-based game.
Right.
It's kind of got that whole Japanese feel about it, like, you know, mystic characters and whatnot, and magic moves. But I'm not sure if the artists are creators. I know it was, this game was backed by a Kickstarter. And if you made, like, what I thought was cool, which I didn't mention on the last episode, if you pledged, like, enough money towards it, you got put in, like, there's like this big shrine place, and you got like a your own shrine, and if you pledged like a certain amount of money, you got like a statue, so you're pretty much embedded into the game.
Oh, cool.
I thought that was pretty cool. But
that is cool.
It's the first game that they made was The Messenger, which is like NES Ninja Gaiden sort of game, and this is kind of like a follow-up, and the game is like in the same sort of universe, but they're not linked in a way. But
I remember you playing that on the Switch.
I did. Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a very fun game. It got quite hard at some point. And then I, like, you know, there's games where I had too many games that I was playing at a stage, and I just lost motivation to play.
Lost it. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
And now you've come too far where it's like 4 years down the track and you're like,
what do I do?
Yeah. I'm not going to beat this. Okay. It's either start again or move on.
Move on. Yeah. Well, is it? So do you reckon tonight will be the night that you finish it off? Or you still got a couple of hours to go?
No, look, there's a few puzzles that I'm trying to do.
Yep.
Like you collect, like there's these Celeste statue places, and that will give you like extra rings or amulets that power you up.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of figuring out the puzzles. Like, they're quite fun. They're more challenging than like your old Pokemon puzzles, which I enjoy. Like, you know how sometimes you got to move like the boulders here and there a certain way.
All that stuff. Yeah.
There are those puzzles, but then there's more difficult ones where you've got to move like lights in a certain direction, and it's challenging, but it's fun.
Okay. All right. And well, cool. And anything else? You just playing that one?
I've been playing that one, and that's it. What about yourself?
We're still sort of fresh to setting up the house, so I did I did get the 3DS out and put Spirit Tracks, Legend of Zelda, in there. So, excuse me, I put that in there so that I could start that up again. But like you were just saying, it's been a few years, so I don't... I know I'm up to like an ice cavern, but I have no idea what to do.
Yep.
And then I think, I don't think I'm far at all. I think maybe a quarter or just over a quarter of the way into it. So I really need to go and look at a walkthrough or something or a video playthrough and just see like what are the next steps.
Yeah, and catch yourself up and
go from
there.
But no, I did also I downloaded Mortal Kombat 1 on Xbox the other night.
Yep.
And I had anticipated playing that, but I just haven't found the time. It's just been a bit of a crazy week, and also the fact that we don't have like a couch set up or anything like that, so it's basically lay on the floor and play, which isn't the most comfortable gaming position. Unless you're not a kid in the 90s, but yeah, it's a bit older now, so it's a bit tougher on the joints. I did play the first two levels of Timesplitters 3 Future Perfect, I think it's called.
Oh wow, okay.
So yeah, I've had that. I've got it on, I think I've got it on GameCube or PS2 or something, but just never played through it. Loved the second one. Yep. Never played the first, unfortunately. I've got to get around to that at some stage. But yeah, just started playing the third one, played the first two levels. I had played the first level ages ago, but it didn't save. So yeah, no big deal. Played for the first two levels, and that was pretty cool. Plays very similar to the second one. I don't really know the characters and such, so it was a bit different. I did find the characters are a bit more animated in this one rather than the second one. They don't have as much dialogue.
Yep.
I don't really understand the story too much, and admittedly I did skip the scenes because actual playing game time at the moment is scarce, so I just wanted to sort of get into it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I went back to... I had about an hour the other day where I just was playing Days Gone again.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up... Well, it's this one mission that I got stuck on before we sort of moved out, which was like it's a horde mission where you go into the cave to recover some data from, I think, some missing agents.
Yep.
And then there's like a super zombie in there and you end up killing him. And then there's like a horde comes at you and you've got to sort of fight them off. But
yeah,
it's like pitch black, right? And, you know, this is one of those situations where I was really loving this game, but now it's just I couldn't beat this section. And I was trying before we did the reno, and after, again, I tried for about 40 minutes, and I just couldn't do it. I don't know if I'm not leveled up properly or haven't done something correctly, but there's no direction, and you just sort of die. And I was looking it up online. People are struggling with it too. And I'm just thought to myself, like, you know what? Screw this. Like, I'm just going to delete the game because I'm just done with it. I was like, this is just...
No. Like, it's such a good game. Like, I beat it.
Don't disagree with you at all. I really loved it. But I was just, like, I don't have time for it, man. I know it's a bit of a quitter's attitude, but I was just like, it's just silly because there's no real way to... progress the game, and I tried and tried and tried, and I'm like, okay, I'll do this. Oh, I can't build traps, don't have enough material, can't do any more bombs, don't have enough material. Yeah,
you need plenty of bombs for the hordes from memory.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, okay, well, I could go back to a save point, go and gather the things, go back in there, try and do it again. But I'm just like, yeah, you know what,
like, is this the one, just this is going back like 3 years in my memory here, is this the one where once you come out of the cave, they chase you up the hill? Or do they chase you down the hill? Or is it inside the
cave? No, you're inside a cave and it's dark, so you're sort of relying on your torch.
You just got to keep fighting them off until it gets to a point, I'm pretty sure. From memory, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it gets to a point where you can kill them off. But it takes a lot of moving up and down, going around.
Oh, just can't be bothered, man. I mean, I know it sounds funny. It's just like you get to my position and you're trying to play something to enjoy it and you die 12 times.
Yep.
Or whatever it was. And I'm just sick of it. I just decided to end it there and delete the game because I thought maybe after a while it would ask you if you wanted to skip the mission.
Yeah.
Apologies about the baby in the background. So... She's trying to get to sleep, but I'm sure she'll be asleep soon. Anyway, yeah, I just was like, I want to play something I'm enjoying, and you know, it's just not happening with this game. And unfortunately, like, I really wanted to see what happened in the end, and I'll have to look up a video, or perhaps you could fill me in. I'm sure enough people have played it, now to understand it. But yeah, I figured I'm pretty close to the end, judging by what's happening or what was happening in the story. But yeah, I just parted ways with it. And then after that, I was like, I'll get back into The Last of Us 2. And it's been so long since I've played it that I didn't realize it's really the polar opposite to Days Gone, where you can just sort of like hang on the machine gun and knock out, you know, 20 guys. You said it's very like, you've got to be accurate, you've got to be stealth and all that stuff. So I started playing that after a long time and I'm like, oh, just got killed like straight away.
Yeah, it's completely different game.
Completely different. So I played a little bit of that, like not long, probably just 10 minutes. But yeah, I was keen to get into Mortal Kombat and just sort of waiting for that time. Obviously, things are a bit crazy for us at the moment, so I haven't had a lot of time, but those are the games that I've sort of gone through this week.
Mm-hmm. It's plenty. Like, you've sampled a fair few there.
I have. I did also jump on the Vita store and try and download a couple of games. I know that I think they shut the store, or
potentially, yeah.
I'm not sure if they did on the Vita, but you can't purchase, well, I couldn't do it. You couldn't purchase games from the Vita. You had to go onto the PlayStation website, add funds to your cart, sort of like the 3DS did, add funds externally and then go in and do it. But I was looking at something, but then I was like, it got too complicated. There was one game I wanted to get, and then I was just like, oh, screw it. Good enough games.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am looking forward to sort of trying to play through The Last of Us 2, but you know, having heard really negative feedback about it, I'm not overly excited.
Don't listen to that feedback.
Okay.
Make your own choice of the game.
Yep.
Personally, I really enjoyed it. I can see why people complained about it, but come on, like, just move on.
Yeah, well, I guess, look, I already know a little bit about what does happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not thrilled with that decision, but, you know, we'll see how we go.
It is what it is, mate. It's a game.
it's a game. I know. So, you know, the first one was great, but I wasn't blown away by the first one. Like, everyone, you know, was like, this is the most amazing game ever made. I didn't really feel that. I just felt like it was another shooter. It was good, but it was, yeah. However, we'll see how we go with number two.
Yeah. I would say more two is more of a shooter, in my opinion.
Mm.
First one was like, be careful with your ammo, or else you're going to have to plan majority of your kills, or else you're gone later on.
Mm.
But anyways,
Well, we'll see how it goes, and hopefully I can have some updates on that in the next week's episode on how that's going. But, you know, they're popular games, so I'm sure it'll be somewhat good. And then I've got Star Ocean waiting for me, ready to go as well. So, yeah.
There you go.
Didn't get up to anything on the Switch, unfortunately. You know, the spirit's willing, but yeah, it's just still in a bit of a setup stage with the house. Yep. So once we get sort of established and some decent furniture and, you know, TV cabinet and things like that, it'll be a bit easier to sit down and relax and do it. But right now it's just not really happening. Things aren't really unpacked, so to speak.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah, I'll get there. We'll get there. What about pickups? Did you anything in the model world or the gaming world?
Look, not really. It was things I ordered like previously.
Mm.
I don't think anything really came in, but it's supposed some things that I didn't mention last show. So the game that I was trying to remember, the Spider-Man game, was Spider-Man Edge of Time.
Yep.
I think we're talking about Amazing Spider-Man, but yeah, Edge of Time is the one that I couldn't remember. I also did get the Amazing Spider-Man, which is based on the movie. Haven't played it.
Yeah,
here it's okay, but I've come this far down the road of getting the games that it's not going to stop me from buying them.
Trying
if they're
it out.
Just okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, understood.
Some games might be just okay, but I end up beating them anyway, and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's see, I don't know if I'm sort of on that train anymore. I think if I just get to a point where I'm stuck, I might just move on. I mean, a lot of these games that I haven't been able to play is because I'm still waiting to finish other stuff, and I feel like I'm obligated to finish the other one. But at the same time, like, no one's stopping me from playing it, but we'll just see how we go.
I've fair enough.
I mean, like a bad game, you know, these days, if you get into a bad game, I'm just sort of like, well, let's move on.
Oh, if it's really, really bad, yeah, forget about it. But
have you had anything recently that's been so bad that you've just gone, nah, forget it?
No, I usually will see a review on a game. And if I don't, like, usually if it's good, I'll give it a go. Sometimes if it's not, I might still give it a go. But even like indie games, like some games that I usually don't really go for, I've actually quite enjoyed.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's good. I'm trying to broaden my horizon.
Yeah, well, it's, I guess that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Like, you do play a lot of the big name games. So, if anything, I've sort of played the stuff that isn't well known, and then you've played the well known stuff, and now we're switching a little bit.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
You know, like with the well known stuff, it's generally a good game because it's got a lot of financial backing and, you know, good development.
Oh, not necessarily, but most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
well, the ones I've played have been pretty hit. There's a few misses, but yeah, I mean, like, I put off playing Spider-Man for a long time, and then when I played it, I was like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah. That is a fantastic game.
Yeah, yeah. Is the second one out?
No, it comes out October 20th.
Okay.
Like, What Remains of Edith Finch, I only got that because it was, like, on the PlayStation Store. It was, like, a free download.
Yep.
I would never play that, ever. But it was like one of those walking games where you like click on items and you go through the story.
Yeah.
Actually really enjoyed it. It was quick. It was like, I don't know, 2 hours, maybe an hour, 2 hours long.
Yeah.
But for what it was, fantastic.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. I mean, something a bit unusual.
Exactly. Something I would never really play ever. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's funny when we were young, the games we played were decided by others, and now it's like we just complete control over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get gifted a copy of whatever, and you just be like, okay. And then, like, 10 years later, you're like, it's the greatest game I've ever played. And someone's like, I've never heard of that. So, you know,
it's
so.
Like when you told me about Plock one time, I was like, what?
Yeah, like, that to me is such, it's just such a strange concept. Because it's my own little world of this game being absolutely amazing. Well, I think it is.
Yep.
And people having absolutely no idea what it is.
Yep.
It's sort of like I talk to people and they're like, oh, what do you like on the SNES? And I'm like, oh, you know, this game called Plock. It's really good. and they're like, I have never heard of that. And then you show them the cover and they're like, oh, so it's like a claymation game. They're like, no, that's just the cover. And it's like, oh, so what do you, is it like a platform? It's like, well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But then it's like an action platform. Yeah, well, you know, and there's power-ups and there's all sorts of things. People just don't get it. And unfortunately, no one's, like, I've never met anyone that's ever had it. So I can't be like, hey, what'd you think of Plock? Oh, Plock, great game. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure you have a copy, but have you even played it?
I have played a little bit, yeah. But
yeah,
it's not like I played it back in the 90s like yourself or had it as gifted. Well, I purchased it like in 2010, 12, or whatever it was.
It just, like, even the soundtrack, it's just ridiculously good. It's unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a very colorful game.
It is very colorful, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be more popular, apart from the fact that it's quite difficult.
Yeah.
It's not difficult until probably a good hour or so in, and that says something for a SNES game, because you can play it on child mode. And it's enjoyable, but it still gets hard. But yeah, it's just the fact that like the soundtrack, I've listened to that so much because I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But that's one game that I'd just be like, wow, I'd love to play that at any time.
There you go.
It's up there. For me, it's up there with like Donkey Kong Country 2.
Exactly. And that's one of your favorites as well.
Yeah, that sort of wraps up my week. I didn't, in terms of,
Oh, actually, I've got a couple more pickups.
Let's hear it.
I picked up Spider-Man 2 on the GameCube recently. I'm not sure if I mentioned that last time.
May have.
Hmm. But it was a game that you were talking about that you wanted. I know I had it, but I forgot to mention it. Hmm. Resident Evil 4 Remake on the PS5.
Ah, yes, yeah.
I remember you saying that you would like to pick that up or play it at one stage. And
yeah, it's in my cart on the PS4 at the moment.
There you go. Yeah. So. I usually play the Resident Evil games with my wife. So at some point we'll play that one together.
Mm. Okay.
But that was my pickups. I really didn't branch out at all. It was just video games. What about yourself?
I downloaded two of the Castlevania games.
Mm-hmm. Which ones?
The one on the PS3, which was like the more modern one. There was two of them, but the earlier one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one, I don't know. I think it was on the... I think it might have been on the 3DS. Maybe. But it was on the Xbox store.
Okay.
There was two of them. I didn't even really look at it, to be honest. I'm like, oh, yeah, I sort of want to play these at some stage. So, yeah, forgive me for not even knowing the title names.
But what,
yeah,
you buy?
Got those. And, yeah, just Mortal Kombat. And then...
That's all right. Mortal Kombat 1, big game.
Yeah, it was like 140 gig. So I started downloading it, thinking I'd have a chance to play it. Then, yeah, it was like a six-hour download. So,
yeah.
But, you know, apparently it's pretty good, and I do love... I find the story to be quite good, not just that it's a fighting game. Hopefully get into that at some stage.
Well, I'd say it's come a long way since Mortal Kombat 1, where you're just fighting. Now there's a story behind it.
Yeah, well, from playing Mortal Kombat X, which was the first one on the PS3, I think it was, the second one on the PS3.
Yeah, I think so. I got X 10? On the PS4, yeah.
It might have been PS4. Yeah, I don't know if it was on the PS3, but it might have been a PS4 release or something.
Yeah.
I played the story on that. I was like, oh, wow, it's an actual story mode. I couldn't believe it. And then 11 followed on from it. So I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I don't know if this one follows on or if it's a reset, but I'm sure we'll find out in the coming days or weeks. But I'll check back in on that one, because it's not often that I play a game. Well, I think it's the first Xbox game I've got, which is... to the current console, usually, apart from Halo, they've all been sort of, because what are we at now, Series X or something?
Mm-hmm.
And they've all been, you know, one step down and Series X, so, yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'll get Resident Evil 4 at some stage too, and hopefully play through that. It's just a bit difficult with young kids. You can't really
play it.
Yeah, and then also a wife that's not interested at all. Doesn't make it easy, but we'll find some time. There'll be time, plenty of time. But look, yeah, in terms of models and stuff, we'll quickly touch on that. I just got some more deliveries this week. So a Gogeta, which I posted on Instagram.
I did see that. That actually looked really cool.
Yeah, a lot bigger than I thought. I didn't know it came with the cloud base. I've been surprised by a couple of them. When you purchase them, it doesn't show any base, but when they come, it's got like a full-on base with, you know, either Dragon Ball Z or something cool written across the front that makes it look like more a complete set. Or
yeah.
I guess for a lot of these too, there's no way these could stand up unless they had a base. So maybe that's just a given that I wasn't sure about. But yeah, they've all so far... I don't think I've even got any, to be honest, that are just on feet. No, I'm looking at them now. It's not that I can see.
They shouldn't. It's usually a base that they peg into.
Yeah, it's so...
a weight support.
Yeah, that's it. So that's really cool. I just opened a launch, who you may not know, is a character from Dragon Ball, a female character. She didn't feature in Dragon Ball Z because I think the creator just sort of forgot about her.
Yeah.
But she's probably one of the main... Well, she's one of the main characters in Dragon Ball. So she's the girl that changes... personality when she sneezes. So she has blonde hair and she's quite like violent and rude, and then she sneezes and she's got like purple hair and she's quite lovely and nice. So
actually think I've seen this character.
Yeah,
because the Dragon Ball used to be on Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
clearly Dragon Ball Z is the more popular one here, but I have seen a bit of Dragon Ball, but not to your extent.
Yeah, well, she's probably in most episodes apart from, you know, the fighting episodes, because she's not a fighting character. But
I think she's
in Dragon Ball Z like twice.
Okay.
I don't think she's been in Super at all, and I don't think she was in GT. So they could have brought her back in Super, really. Yep. They could have, because in Super what they've done is they've brought back sort of Yamcha, Tien, and made them more prominent again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for her it's just, she's just gone, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I got her. But that's a lovely set, because it's a licensed figure. So it's got a lot of detail and it just looks great.
Oh, good.
So that one's top shelf at the moment. And other than that, I opened my one of one Teen Gohan, which I also posted. So that one's, I mean, Wayne just set that one up. So that's set up.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, yeah, it's on the Instagram if you want to ever flick through, but that's pretty cool. So that's massive. That's right up the top.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't think there was much. Oh, just a one I had in storage was the seven Dragon Balls. So like a, I guess they're one of one size, like a life size, but they're in like a nice display kit, and they have like a chargeable battery pack inside it, so you can light them up and stuff.
Yep.
So okay. That was pretty cool. Yeah, and that's about it. I did stumble across their website, which had some really cool like anime t-shirts. The art was really awesome, so I did purchase a couple of those. Ended up chatting to the guy because he collects Residents as well.
Yeah.
So Manga Streetwear, that's the website if you want to check them out. But he's in Australia too, so just chatting to him, and yeah, that's about it really for me.
The Son Goku one, is that the one?
Which one's that?
The one that you got recently.
T-shirt?
No, the statue.
Son Goku one. Yeah, I guess so. Are you looking at something now?
Yeah.
I don't know. You've sort of thrown me off now. What are you talking about? No, look at this.
Deus Studios S Plus Son Goku.
Yeah, I got that Super Saiyan 3. Yeah, that was like a week ago. I'm talking about the second last one on my page.
Don't worry. I just saw the box and I was like,
it's in like a bloody coffin. It's massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's life size, so it's huge.
It is big.
So I set that up and I managed to get it set up and all the cardboard away before my dad rocked up, and because he's been cracking about all the cardboard, although he does take it all to the tip for me. Good on him. But he's like, stop opening these toys. I'm like, they're not toys. Yeah, but it's just good fun. No, so that's it for this week. I'm trying to get all the Dragon Ball ones set up and together so I can plan the room out for the Naruto ones.
Yep.
So we'll just see where that goes. I think that's, you didn't get any models or anything this week?
No, I've just been trying to get a refund or store credit from a 1/6 scale provider of action figure hot toys and whatnot in Hong Kong that a lot of people have had problems with. They're really good with their, when you buy in stock items, but with pre-orders, they're a nightmare to deal with, and their customer service is so bad. They will email you back once every 3 to 4 days, sometimes every 7 days.
Yep.
And you're like, I'm waiting a whole business week for a response for me to wait more to get a response back. And I'm like,
baby.
I just want this over and done with. I want my order cancelled. I want my credit.
Why are you trying to cancel it?
Because I pre-ordered something that was not in stock. So let's rewind to last year. So I pre-ordered Luke Skywalker Mandalorian from Figure.
Yep.
And the deluxe version. And at some point throughout the year, towards the end of the year, when it was not announced, but it's probably like 3 months off being announced, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've already got the Snow Speeder Luke from Hoth, like from the Empire Strikes Back. He's in his orange uniform. And I've got a Bespin one coming. So, you know, when he's training with Yoda, I'm like, do I really need this Mandalorian Luke, where he's in his black robe, you know, where he appears at the end of the first season, if you've seen it. And I thought to myself, no, you're going to have too many. So I ended up cancelling that. They were fine with it. It took ages for them to cancel it.
Yeah.
But then I wanted, so I used the store credit to pre-order something else. So the item wasn't in stock, and they were saying that it's estimated for, it's like May, July. Anyways, come July, the item is in stock, yet they're not shipping out my item. Now, during that pre-order process, they never said anything about a third or fourth batch. They just said it's going to be in stock at this point in time. There was no disclaimer. Whole thing, just got arguing with them. They wouldn't give me the money back. So I'm like, I'm done with you guys. So now I'm waiting on a credit. Then they're trying not to give me the postage that I've already paid for.
Yep.
I'm trying to argue that you need to credit me back for the postage plus the figure.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get it all back, then I will purchase a new item that's in stock, no pre-orders.
Yep.
And be done with them for good. I don't want to mention who they are because people who collect Hot Toys and figures over in Hong Kong, for quick releases, you probably know who I'm talking about.
Sorry, I thought Hot Toys was the name of the website. Is that just the type of toy, is it?
Hot Toy is the type of the toys. There's many places that will sell them. Like, for example, in Australia, we've got Pop Culture, Sugar Toys, DX Collectibles, just to name a few. But they will wait on the third or fourth batch.
Yeah.
Usually they will come. We will get them from the States and they will post it down to us and then we distribute it.
Yep.
If you go for batch one or two, they're usually from Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how it works. But, yeah.
Bloody Star Wars, hey?
Oh, it's anything. Like you'll get, great people from, Hong Kong. I usually deal with the 1/6 kit. Mm. He is fantastic. As soon as you pre-order an item straight away, as soon as he'll get the first batch or second batch, it'll get shipped out to you for free as well. So you might pay a little bit more, but you're paying for the cost of shipping.
Mm.
But you've got a smooth transaction, smooth customer service, and that's what I'm after.
Yeah, this company that I use, FF Collectibles, near me, they're just fantastic. Henry down there, he just, he checks the boxes and stuff and he makes sure everything's okay. He just communicates, there's no nonsense. He just gets it done. And it's just it's a dream. It really is. You know the status of your order. You know when it's going to arrive in Australia. You know when he's getting it. You know when you can pick it up. Yada, yada, yada. And not only that, does he chases things up for me and tries to find sets that are out of stock. And, it's a credit to him because there is some ones overseas that I dealt with in the early days that I'm still sort of dealing with in terms of where's the order. The common collectors notorious online for the guy sort of disappearing and just leaving everyone in the lurch, although you still get emails occasionally like, hey, pay for the postage and we'll send it out. And then it's like, okay, I've paid it. And then all of a sudden one day a parcel arrives. So you got zero interaction with, you have no idea where it is in the world, who's doing it for you. You got no idea. You're just saying like, here's the money. Hopefully it shows up. Then one day you get a text, there's a parcel coming from some unknown delivery service and it shows up and you're like, okay, so there is someone that's doing something, but it's a funny game.
It is. It's part of the game and we're pawns in the chess piece that someone's playing.
I think so. But yeah, look, when you do set them up and you look at them and you put them all together, it's well worth it, I think.
Exactly.
For something that's going to last forever. Like they're such good quality and they last forever as long as you're careful. Admittedly, I've had a couple of breaks that some have been, when I've opened the box, some have been myself, brushing past them or, trying to move them and they accidentally rub against something and they just break so easily. So, that's it for collecting this week, I think. But we'll get into the topic of the show. So this might be a bit of a part two or a revised version of a previous podcast. You can check that out in the archive if you like. But we're going to talk about our memories around the Sega Mega Drive, the Sega Dreamcast, not Dreamcast, Sega Genesis, sorry.
Yeah.
If my memory serves.
The Sega Meg. You've never heard that one?
I've heard of the Meg.
Yep, Sega Meg.
Movie about a shark.
not the Meg, the
Sega
Meg.
Sega Meg.
Sega Meg.
No, I've never heard of that. That's the first time I've heard of that.
Oh, there you go. So it's probably the last time you're going to hear it about it too.
A new memory for me, yeah. So when we do part three, I'll bring that up. Yeah, but look, it's I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up with this console.
Neither did I.
What
are we going to talk about?
I don't know. So let's move on. The topic is, what does NES stand for? Nobody knows. No, just kidding. But I ended up, from what I recall, we sold our 64 and for some reason we got a Sega Mega Drive.
Why did you take the step back?
I don't know. I wasn't involved in the dealings. Anyway, so a Sega Mega Drive came home from Video Game Heaven. Yep. And had, you know, Sonic 2 and I think something else, but it was only around for, I think, 2-3 days, and then it was gone, and then we had a PS1. So as much as I enjoyed it, it was short-lived. That was the first interaction with it, other than friends having it and playing it, you know, during the time of the Super Nintendo 64 era. And then later on in life, I purchased a, I think there was like the first generation one.
I purchased. It's got a headphone jack in the front, so it was one of the first consoles with like stereo out. I think it's pretty cool for what it was. It's like, who is really going to put your headphone jack into the front of this console and just listen to the music? I don't know.
Well, it was very early eBay time for me, and I remember speaking to my dad. I'm like, oh, I want to get this Sega, you know, and we'd got a, I think I got like a copy of Battletoads and stuff, and they'd gone, the transactions had gone okay. So yeah, for about $100, I can't remember the cost, but let's say it was $100, I got the Sega. It rocked up in the packaging, and I remember taking it out like, oh sweet, I can't wait to play this. And there was like a backing case on it which was missing, and chip or whatever it was exposed, so you could see like the board. And I remember the plugging it all in, and it worked, like just sort of worked, then stopped working. And then I couldn't get it to work from there. So it was a pretty bad experience because it just didn't work. It came with a copy of Sonic 2, I think, which, and a controller. But yeah, that we couldn't salvage it. So I think I just bought a copy. I bought another console later on down the track. I think it was the Generation 2 one, which was more popular. And yeah, just started gathering some games for that. That was when I was sort of an independent collector, just wandering around cash converters and stuff, getting, you know, $2 games. I think I had like NHL 94. I picked up a copy of Sonic 2 and Sonic 1 in the box, which I've still got, which are pretty cool. And then there was a game I picked up called Mars and Wars or something like that. I may have spoken about this earlier. It's like a robot game where you play as like a futuristic robot wielding a sword, and you travel as like a side scroller, but from, it's sort of like got a Turtles in Time feel to it. You travel around, and yeah, it's sick. But it was very similar to Turtles in Time, but yeah, you're a robot. And then it, as you fight the bosses, it goes into like a Street Fighter mode where it's side by side like a fighter. So the game, the style of game completely changes. And I was like really impressed by it because it was like an $8 game just in some bin at whatever store. Yep. And I took a complete chance on it because it just had a robot on the front, and it ends up probably being one of my top, you know, 20 games because it's just so cool. And the soundtrack's awesome. Definitely something you should look into. I'll message you the details on it so you can check it out. But
yeah,
that was something I played a lot of. But yeah, Sonic 2 was probably my favorite game on it. But
yep.
Again, I was probably 15, 16 when I got the console, so it was more just playing it, being a little bit older and playing it, so like I had that connection to it like I did the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and by the time I got it, we were already into, you know, 64 and probably PS2 sort of region as well. So, you know, it wasn't really like, although I love retro gaming, it wasn't, back then, you know, I couldn't just afford to get games on everything, so it really just got cheapies when I found them.
Yeah.
What about you? What was your story around getting it?
Look, early days, like when I was young, didn't have it. I'm not sure if my cousin Bo had it. I know he had the Master System. I know that for a fact, that he loved that console. I had the Super Nintendo. It was huge on that. It was Nintendo boy until probably the PlayStation came along. But in terms of the Sega, the first real memory I had of it is my cousin and I, we went to, I think it was like an auntie's or like, I don't know, the relation, she could have been my grandma's friend, and they were family in that sense. But they had a Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And like my cousin was playing a soccer game on it for ages, and all I wanted to play was Batman Returns. I just wouldn't stop playing this soccer game.
Yeah.
And we had to go somewhere soon, and I'm like, Bo, this is boring. He's like, he looks at me and goes, no, it's not.
This is not boring. He's
having the time of his life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, to be honest, I don't think I ever got to play it, and because we had to go.
Probably lucky.
It might have been Easter. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really want to play. I don't think I own the game.
Wasn't Batman Forever really shit?
No, this is Batman Returns.
Oh, okay.
So it was like this side-scrolling beat 'em up. I know on the Super Nintendo it was a very good game, but I don't know about the Mega Drive version because I've never played it.
Yeah, I just remember about the Sega when I first got it. My first impression was like, well, the game's really dark.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like they were a bit more adult.
They were more grungy, I would
say. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. I remember playing games that I had on the Super Nintendo on the Sega, and I was like, oh, the music's a little bit different. Graphics are a little bit different. I think that was the case with Mortal Kombat. And obviously the button pattern was, I think it was 6 buttons rather than 4. So
yeah, originally came out with 3 buttons and then they expanded it to the 6. But I'm not a fan of the 3 buttons side by side. I like our Super Nintendo, the 2, like you don't have to spread your fingers all the way across.
Yeah.
I just found it more comfortable.
I was impressed by back then by the library. I just found it to be a great place to borrow books. No, just kidding. Like it was, I just found when I'd go to say a market or something, there was just so many obscure. Like I remember getting Captain Planet on the Sega.
Yep.
I was like, wow, like I just never seen that before. Yep. And then I'd go somewhere else and it's like, oh, what's this game? You know, what's like, I've never seen, there's like a whole other world of games out there. Cause on the Super Nintendo, you sort of knew what was out there, but you know, all the popular games everyone had, but Sega, I just didn't really have a lot of mates that had it. And it, for me, it was just a whole other, obviously a system to collect for, but it was just a whole new experience.
Yeah. It definitely is. Like there's games today that I don't own that I would love to own, but I don't know if I will because I don't have that real attachment to the console.
No, and like, yeah, you rarely see Sega games in the wild. And I found that when I was collecting too, I didn't really see them. It was more Super Nintendo. I don't know how popular Sega was in
Australia.
Victoria or even Australia, but I do know that when we stayed up with our relatives, I'd say up in Wodonga, Albury, we were just sort of like sleeping in this room and they just had a Sega in there. And I think I was playing Double Dragon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is really awesome. But you know, that was like on a farm in the middle of nowhere and they had a Sega Mega Drive. It's just like unbelievable. But yeah, I ended up getting a copy of Double Dragon because of that later on. And it actually was pretty good. I think it was called like it's like a different Double Dragon, something like a side game.
Was it Streets of Rage?
No.
No, it was Double Dragon?
Yes.
Okay. Was it Double Dragon 5?
No.
Okay. I have no idea.
Well, if you... I'll look it up now. Why don't you tell me about some of the games you had on it?
Okay. So when I started collecting for the Sega, so the first version I got was also the Model 1. There was this guy that we used to wheel and deal with a fair bit back in 2005, 2016. I bought like a big bundle from him. It was the first... This is how late I got into the Mega Drive. Came with a fair few games. There was like Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, NBA Jam, Sonic 2, a fair few others, but this is going off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But that was when I first bought the console. Then probably like 6 months later, I was at a garage sale and wasn't the one that we went to. This was in Montmorency, I believe, from memory.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Montmorency has come up so much this week just in random conversations. Anyway, yeah, got nothing to do with what you're talking about.
Okay.
just the strangest suburb.
It is.
Yeah, okay. Good times. Shout out to Montmorency, eh?
That's the one. So purchased the Model 2 with a whole bunch of games. There was, I believe there was Castle of Illusion, or maybe it's the World of Illusion. So it's the third one in the series. Maybe Animaniacs, just a few others. And then that's when I started buying Sega Mega Drive copies. So I've got like a total, not consoles, but games, but I've got like a total of 39 games for it now.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you got a bit of a library of them.
got a bit of a library, but they're way off from what I want. Like, like the X-Men games. Stuff that I'm into. Like, I like platformers of the 16-bit era, so I'd want those and, like, Wolverine and stuff like that, but I'm not sure if it's any good. I've got the mini console now, so I'm starting to really enjoy it, like the console itself.
Yep.
It's not like it's the Super Nintendo where it's a close part of me where I grew up on it. Mm. It's just I'm trying to catch up. And when I first started playing the Sega Mega Drive, when I really got to know the games, it was probably when emulation was big. Like, I had no idea that there was another Turtles game that was like Turtles in Time, and that's called the Hyperstone Heist.
Yep.
Which now I own because I love the Turtles, but like back then when emulation was a thing, or it's still a thing, but when it was like new, I was blown away by this game because I was like, this, I couldn't believe that this was the thing. Like,
no, I remember seeing it cheap too at Video Games Heaven and thinking to myself, oh, there is another Turtles game. I used to find it so funny when I'd see like Super Nintendo games that were on the Sega as well.
Yeah.
Like Earthworm Jim and stuff like that. And I just think to myself, like, oh, it's, you know, I wonder what that's like. Like Aladdin was a different game as well, and we spoke about that last time, but the game I was referring to was Double Dragon 3. It's the arcade game.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. So it might have been like sounds like it was an arcade game and they've made it onto the Sega, but yeah.
I Rosetta Stone?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So got that one cheap, but yeah, that Turtles game, was that part of the recent bundled Turtles game pack that was on the Switch?
It might have been. I didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think you did, didn't you?
I did. I think it's on there. I'm not sure. I haven't really played too much. I just played Tournament Fighters, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Which was great game, by the way. Yeah.
It is a very good game. Yeah. In my opinion, it's way better on the Super Nintendo than the Mega Drive. I've got both.
What about the NES version?
The NES is pretty crap.
Yeah.
It's expensive now. No, I don't. It didn't come out in PAL A. So in Europe and the States and Japan, I believe.
Sorry to hear, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I was going to say, have you played Rocket Knight Adventures, though?
Yes.
Like the little, is like a marsupial?
But no, not on the Sega.
Oh, you played the
Xbox. Super Nintendo, right? No, I played the Xbox remake recently. So couldn't beat it, but it was good.
It's still a fun game.
Like, yeah, no, like there's some great games on it. Like, is it Zool?
You think you like Zool?
I like the soundtrack.
Ah, there you go. I've heard things. I didn't hear the best of things, but it might be good. I don't know. One person's opinion.
Well, there's people out there that would probably tell you, you know, a game we hate is absolutely fantastic. But
exactly.
I've got a lot of the Sega Mega Drive classics. You know, like there's one on the Switch that's got like 50 titles on it.
Yeah, the collection.
The collection. So I've got a lot of those games buried away somewhere, but I always tend to just play Sonic 2 and stuff like that, the stuff I know.
Yep, fair enough.
You know, because they're the classics. But, you know, I had Mortal Kombat, I think 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have Streets of Rage or anything like that, but Shinobi, I think it was, Shinobi 2 or 3, I had that.
Yep.
I did have a copy of Earthworm Jim 1. I had a copy of Taz. I did have Batman Forever as well. See, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. The Sonic pinball game, I had that. I had the Altered Beast game as well.
Yeah, yep.
And
launch title, I believe.
Yeah, it was really cheap, and I wanted Comic Zone but never got it.
That's a shame. I hear it's a good game.
It is good, and it's on, I've played it since, and it's on a lot of those packs. Quite good, but you know, it was a lot of the games for Sega, the people talk about it, like Phantasy Star and things like that, which the RPG games, they seem to be quite popular. But as time went on, you know, Sega, like I had the Dreamcast, barely played it. I've got the Saturn, barely played it, but I've got a lot of Japanese tiles for both of those. I have, you know, a couple of Game Gears. I don't think any of them work.
Yeah.
You know, now Sega just basically makes games rather than consoles. But yeah, I think the Mega Drive was awesome for what it was. It was definitely well and truly, you know, a perfect rival for the Super Nintendo. Whether you grew up with one or the other, it's really, you can have a good time either way.
Oh, definitely. Towards probably because it was more to combat, it came out early, like before the Super Nintendo. So it came out to combat the popularity of the NES and for them to beat like them to the punch with 16-bit graphics.
Yep.
It was kind of like fading away 94 era. And that's when Super Nintendo went bang with all those games. I think they were bringing out Donkey Kong Country at the time with the better graphics. And that's when it kind of started to kill Sega off, because they started bringing in that Mega CD, the 32X
attachments. Yeah, all the little the packs that you had to stack on top of each other.
Yeah, so to make it better than the Super Nintendo. But then at the same time, they're already spending all this money to build the Sega Saturn. And then people have already spent all this money for these attachments, which weren't cheap. And it's now Sega's are expecting them to pay up all this money for a brand new 32-bit system console.
Yeah, because you get like the 32X cartridge games, which were just 32X.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got some of them, and I won't be able to play them unless I set up that bloody
Tower of Power.
But yeah. Am I going to do that? Probably not. I bought most of the attachments at that garage sale we went to.
Yeah.
And three broken Game Gears. But
And well, he did warn you though.
Yeah, one power's on. Anyway, yeah, but you're right. It was like I didn't know anyone that had any of those attachments. I think I didn't know anyone that had a Saturn either.
No,
I'm not even sure I knew anyone that had a Dreamcast.
I knew a fair few people had the Dreamcast. Yeah, the Saturn I only knew one person with. The Dreamcast was quite popular. That was
well. I don't recall seeing any Saturn games or Dreamcast games at the stores. I do remember, this is funny, seeing the Jaguar. Was it the Jaguar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. Atari. I remember seeing those at the store when that got released. So there you go.
I think I just had like tunnel vision for the Super Nintendo and then the PlayStation and Nintendo 64 around that time. Mm. And then, yeah, the Dreamcast was actually big. Like, I know my cousin Bo had it. A friend Youngie had it. I know my cousin Michael had it. I'm pretty sure other people had it, but the PS2 just killed it. Like, destroyed it.
I think so. It was pretty quick. And then you heard sort of things later in life like, oh, people are still playing Dreamcast overseas. It's still one of the most popular ones. It's like, who cares?
It had a big library in Japan. It was still massive. Well, in Japan, it was just, I think, everywhere else. It just died. PlayStation 2.
I was excited. I was hoping they'd bring back the Sega for a console, but it's just like, even now I think, you know, are we even going to see new consoles later on?
I don't think so. It's too hard to break into the market.
No.
Xbox or Microsoft did it because they had the huge budget, plus they were already a PC powerhouse with games. It's like that little meme that comes up from time to time. I don't know if you've seen it, like when the four Master Races lived on Earth, and it has like at E3, it's got the GameCube, the Dreamcast, the Xbox, and the PS2. Yeah. And someone's commented going, "What the hell is a Dreamcast?" Sega, they're not around anymore.
No, we lived through a time which was very unique. And, you know, you could say that about anyone that lived during that console sort of era. But these days, it's just, there's so much history there, isn't there? That's why we sort of do the show, because it's like we're talking about all these things from the past, but just the feeling of the time, you know, what console am I going to get? What games am I going to get? You know, am I going to get this game on the GameCube where it's half as good as it is on the Xbox? You know what I mean? You know, what are my friends going to get? What is this? You know, so that sort of stuff. These are all decisions you have to make.
And now it's all the same, isn't it?
Well, now it's all just like, oh, no one gives a shit, because we don't. Well, you play a lot of single player.
Yeah.
I barely have time to play anything. And then who, God knows what all our friends were doing from back in the day. But you know what I mean? Like back then it was like, okay, well, I know this person's got GameCube, so I'll get a GameCube and then we can play this game together. But that doesn't really, you know, compute anymore.
Different times, mate. Different times.
You know, like leaving a copy of your cartridge in someone's letterbox. You know, like Eric could drop off a copy of your game and I'd have it in my letterbox and I'd go ahead and get it like a week later, give it a couple of blows, pop it in, there you go. It's
working.
You know, is this like a different area? You'd reach into the cupboard, there would be like 14 cartridges. You don't know what you're grabbing. Oh, where's bloody this game? It's things like that, you know, and that's sort of special in its own right.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't have the experience of getting anything for Sega on release. Saturn, Dreamcast, none of that. So,
neither did I. Didn't own the console during those times.
No. So unfortunately missed out on that. But look, had a decent crack of it. And to be honest, like a lot of the games I've probably played more of in more recent years just because of the, you know, the collections or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but Sega's a very good company. They make, you know, they own Atlas now, which makes some of my favorite games. So
yep.
Yeah. Have you played anything from Sega recently?
No, not recently.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless it's still doing, actually, no, it's not even recent. What's the fighting game that you generally bring out? No. It's like, you know, you're in like Tokyo. You're probably Yakuza. Do they still make that? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they did one semi recently.
Yeah.
But
I have played one of those, but not the recent one.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what Sega's been up to lately as my gaming knowledge has sort of dwindled a little bit. Yeah, I do know that they purchased Atlas probably, 5 years ago, I'm going to guess, maybe more, and own a lot of those. Yeah, been releasing sort of games. I think they kept all the staff from it, so the games have maintained quality, but
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of playing those games because they're such big games, but yeah, some of the Sonic games have been pretty shit, to be honest, but yeah. Sonic Colors and Sonic Generations were very good. Even the Sonic Mania game was quite good. So
I agree.
I haven't played there's a couple that I just sort of skipped over, or I've got them and I haven't had a chance to play them, but I don't know if I'll set the Sega up in my house because, to be honest, I've got a lot of the Sega games just downloaded on the... I've actually got a few of them on the PS3, so if I set that up, I'll just play them on that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually beat Sonic 2 on the PS3.
Okay.
And it was quite difficult. So there you go. Yeah. But yeah, didn't own it, but it's still pretty good.
Mm. All right.
Any closing comments on the Sega, my man?
No, look, I wish they were still about and pumping out games. It was a big loss losing the company. But in terms of the Mega Drive, I think it was bigger in the States than it was here. But overall, like, they've got like a huge library of games. You'll always find something good. Like, one last game that I'll mention is Gunstar Heroes. That's actually one of my favorite run and gun sort of games. But keep you on your toes, that game's it's really good. But that's my closing comment.
They might open a headquarters in Melbourne one day. Who knows? If they sell Caribbean Gardens, maybe they could open up next to the Nintendo one on Stud Road.
Caribbean Gardens is closed now.
Well, there's land down there for sale. They could put a Sega headquarters and, be pretty much next door to Nintendo.
That is never going to happen.
Probably not. But, you know, we can dream. Good times. Anyway, all right, well, I think that'll do us for today.
Yep.
But, yeah, episode 40 in the book, so that's good. 2 weeks in a row, yippee. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram and all the popular podcasts.
Yes, I know where to find it this time. So we can find it on Apple. You can find it on Google. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Spotify. Wooshka is no longer a thing, so forget that one. But they are the foremost that you can find it. And I believe at some point in the near future, when YouTube comes up, there'll be an YouTube Music. There'll be the show on there too.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyways, enjoy the rest of your night, folks. Power on.